We will now convene the December 14, 2010 special magistrate proceedings for the city of Daytona Beach. I've reviewed the minutes of our October 12, 2010 meeting and have approved them. Will those representatives for the city of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn? Okay, because it is Christmas and I am of good cheer, we're going to go directly to those cases for which we actually have respondents present so we can get them out of here and go do their Christmas shopping. So it's my understanding the first such case we have is number 22, so we're going to take number 22 out of order. Will those that want to be heard on case number 22 please step forward?
I'm Clyde Foster.
I'm Mark Reed.
Reed.
R-E-I-D.
Raise your right hand, please. You swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
Make sure you speak into the microphone, please.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Reed, what's your affiliation with this matter?
My mother is a property owner, but she couldn't be here at this
very
time.
Good. All right. This matter is before us. The notice of an allegation of dorm living. Do you gentlemen agree or disagree that the facts existed as stated in the notice of violation?
We have some issues where we weren't aware that we had a dorm living situation. On the initial notice, we asked for clarification on that, and we provided information of an occupational license, which was also requested initially. We then received the letter stating that we were in violation and that there was evidence to support that. We've since then taken action. We've given the tenants notice that the property, that we've been cited that the property is non-conforming in terms of the dorm living, and we've given them notice to vacate the property in January.
Okay. What say the city? I guess the initial question is, what was the basis for the violation for dorm living?
There were, I think, four students or people living there, all unrelated, and neighbor complaints.
Okay.
So it brought it to light.
All right, so you're aware of these circumstances, but from what I understand, you're telling me you've taken action to try to rectify it.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. All right, and what does the city suggest in the way of compliance?
Reducing the number of tenants to two.
Okay, by when?
Well, they say they've got a lease that is up when?
January 10th. Sorry, January 9th.
January 9th, so that is our next hearing. So we should be out.
Hearing to the 11th.
Yeah.
So compliance with the compliance date of the 9th, and they'll be out, and for the next hearing, they'll be gone. And
yeah, there'll be no occupants as of January the 9th.
Okay.
The property will be vacant.
There should be.
Okay, can I set a date beyond our cutoff date? Is it your intent to have this on a January 11 meeting in the event they fail to comply?
Yes.
Okay, can I set a meeting past, can I set a compliance past our cutoff date?
You can.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry, when are you expected to have them out?
Their lease
expires on January the 9th.
On January the 9th. So we've provided them notice that their lease will not be renewed. So as of January 9th, we're expecting the property to be vacant.
What I'd ask is if the respect of possibly a dorm, the magistrate can rely on them notifying the inspector and the instruction being that on the meeting date of the 11th, that if they have not been notified by the inspector that they are in compliance, finance that they returned to the meeting of January 11th. So that we make the actual meeting date, the compliance deadline.
And the 9th is a Sunday. Our meeting's on a Tuesday.
Right. This is a copy of the letter that was furnished to the tenants.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm satisfied with the respondent's effort. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the respondent until February 2 of 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I hear your January 9th date. It's not that I take issue with it.
Okay.
It's just that, as they say, stuff happens.
Okay.
And I don't want you getting these folks getting you getting held up by a day or two or something, and then we've got a huge administrative snafu here with regard to our meeting dates.
Fair enough.
So by February 2nd, 2011, they're to be out.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Excuse me.
Okay, case number 29. D.R. Horton Incorporated, Jacksonville. Is there anyone here to be on behalf of the respondent? Okay, what say the city?
This is a case that's been going on for quite some time. It came to my attention in August, and there is a retaining wall that there's been a question over who is responsible for repairing it.
Is that the retaining wall?
That's the retaining wall.
It's the broken one.
Yes. I have noticed D.R. Horton, who is the owner of record, I just talked with the attorney for D.R. Horton. The development manager is out of town. They are in the process of preparing agreements to, once the wall is repaired, transferring the property to the homeowners association. So that's where we are. They are in noncompliance as of right now. I told the attorney what we're looking for is when he comes to the next meeting to have a date certain for repair. He said they're working on the agreements, so the agreements should be in place, the agreements should be done, and we should have a date certain for completion. So
who's
noncompliance.
Who's going to be doing the work?
D.R. Horton, the owner. Current owner, and then they'll transfer the ownership over.
What do these agreements have to do with coming into compliance?
It's my understanding.
And it looks to me like it's a minimal amount of work that we're talking about here.
Do you have any knowledge of why?
If you want to be heard on this matter, come on up.
Well, he's the manager, homeowners association manager.
Hi. Kurt von der Osten. VONDEROSTEN. I do. Okay. And I am basically the property manager. I've been associated with the community for several years. What happened there is the builder, D.R. Horton, constructed the wall and the houses and developed the neighborhood. And then at completion intended to deed it over to the homeowner association. They did not properly convey the land, so they are still the owner of record. And there's been some back and forth negotiations that the association will only accept the wall if it's complete. D.R. Horton wanted some assurance that they would accept the wall if they repaired it, and it was a lot of back and forth. So probably doesn't have a big effect on this hearing, except that the parties are negotiating, and they believe they'll have an agreement signed tomorrow. So.
And once this agreement is signed, what does that mean?
It means Horton will move in by a date certain to repair the wall, and then once it's repaired, the homeowner association agrees to accept a deed to the property.
All right. First off, as it stands right now, D.R. Horton Incorporated is the owner of record?
Correct.
Okay, then I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Now, we're talking about a compliance date. And you're telling me this agreement should somehow interfere with determining that compliance date? Because I'm not understanding how.
I think the agreement should help set the compliance date. Once the agreement is in place and they've made agreement, then they can actually get the construction done, do the construction work, and then deed the property back over to the association.
Would you explain to me why that trumps why we're all here right now? I thought we were the ones that ordered the property owners to come into compliance or not come into compliance, as opposed to the property owner entering into agreements with whomever for the sake of whatever convenience they may want.
Well, I'll speak. Yeah, you're right. Obviously, that was in.
I'm feeling slightly ignored here.
Yeah, but we're not asking you to. We're not asking you, I don't believe, to have to yield to any agreements that they're making. We're just making the information that they are in the agreement.
Exactly.
Okay, well, then let's back up and go by the numbers for just a moment, because I don't want to ignore. I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Kurt.
I don't want to ignore Kurt here. Okay. All right, how much time should it take to come into compliance? I mean, it doesn't look like a lot of work.
I think once they start on the work, 60 days is more than adequate. Or 30 days is more than adequate.
I mean, is this going to require, like, engineering and all that stuff, or is this just a matter of putting the wall back together?
It's minor engineering. It's a repair detail, and I would say 1 week worth of actual physical work would be sufficient to complete it.
Okay.
It's getting it started that's been the problem.
All right. Now that I've pouted, so you're figuring that, what, you want me to hold off on determining a compliance date until you have this agreement in effect?
No.
No.
All right. Well, then let me ask you, how much time do you think it should take the property owner, whoever that may turn out to be, to bring this property in compliance were you to assume that the property owner was going to start a good faith effort as of today, given the quantum of work or what have you that needs to be done?
30 days.
30 days. All right. What do you say?
Unless, unbeknown to me, if there's materials that would need to be ordered, say additional blocks that you see there, then there might be a lead time until those come in. That's my only concern.
I guess it sounds to me like either way that D.R. Horton's going to be the one doing the work here. Right?
And they've agreed to repair it.
So accepted by the Homeowners Association or not accepted by the Homeowners Association, we're the ones going to be banging on D.R. Horton's head to get the job done.
Correct.
Okay, then I'll ask you the same question I asked him. How much time should it take to come into compliance?
I think 30 days for the actual repairs, but if we're now talking about engineering and then we've got permits and so on, I think maybe 60 days.
Well, in deference to the respondent and the Homeowners Association, and in recognition that they have some sort of negotiations going on that may somehow impact all this, and because it's almost Christmas, I'm going to give y'all until... our cutoff would be January. I'm going to give you to the February 2, 2011 to come into compliance, or the respondent, that being D.R. Horton, be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So I'm basically giving you about 50-some-odd days to figure out all your agreements, and then hopefully it'll be smooth sailing as far as D.R. Horton putting this wall in place. But either way, D.R. Horton's going to be obligated to put the wall in place. Okay?
Yes.
All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Case number 36.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My name is Michael Knight. I moved to Daytona a year ago. I'm a retired police officer. Oh, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You saw me serve the testimony
about the
truth.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Yes, sir. And what, if any, affiliation do you have with Beach Property?
Well, I own the Crook's Den, which is the bar that's located on the property, and this is where the violation arose from. It was my violation.
Okay. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir, I do. I would say that I agree to it, but I'm doing it on a little bit of ignorance to the law at that point.
That's all right. I'll go ahead and find the respondent to be in non-compliance and ask our inspector how much time should it take to come into compliance.
Well, they're in compliance now on the 10-14.
They're in compliance now on the one, oh, on 1014?
1014, and we're looking for a walk on.
Okay. The city acknowledges that you've now come into compliance, but they're looking for a will fine. A will fine is an order that says that this violation never exists or occurs again, and it's proven to the satisfaction of the special magistrate that it did, in fact, incur. What with you having had knowledge that you're not supposed to do it, so now that, then at that point you would have knowledge, you could be subjected to a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. That having been said, did you want to argue or be heard with regard to the request?
Absolutely not.
The will fine?
Absolutely not. Mr. Fitzgerald was a professional at the time of the situation, and I got out of there just as fast as I could.
All right, very good. All right, then I will find that the respondent... I've already determined that the respondent was in noncompliance. Having now determined that the respondent has subsequently come into compliance, I'm going to order the respondent that for every future such violation be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. We appreciate your effort in rectifying it. We don't fine people $5,000 the first time they walk in here and we'll fine, or sometimes ever. But in any event, you know, if you have any questions in the future, please call your inspector.
Well, I apologize for wasting this this time of the court here.
All right, well,
thank
we
you
appreciate
very much.
The effort.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, did we have any other respondents that wanted to be heard, or are we going to start proceeding? Okay, well, Mr. Smith
is
close enough to the top, so just wait 1 second.
Okay.
You will be the second thing we'll be moving to.
All right,
then let's go back to our...
One more.
Sorry.
You do. Yes. Number 18. 121 Mason Park.
Okay, let's bring him up. This will be shorter than Mr. Smith will be.
Hello. John Cicero, 505. Shed Lane, Ormond Beach, Florida. I do.
Yes, Mr. Cicero, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
By the next cutoff.
Next cutoff would be January 5, 2011. Mr. Cicero, do you think you can be in compliance by January 5, 2011?
No.
Okay, why not?
I don't have the financial ability to pay for the window repairs, and I contacted window people.
The notice of violation I'm looking at says outside storage.
That was complied with right away. That was just, I had to clean up the mess when the tenants left, and that's what the outside storage was the pile of garbage.
The notice of violation has evolved into something else now?
I believe that there's a typo more violation than just storage.
Okay.
The outstanding violation of broken windows.
All right, and are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, well then let me back up because I'm the ignorant one here now. All right, Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think it should take for the respondent to come into compliance to repair these windows you're talking about?
Still the same, the next cutoff.
Next cutoff. All right, and you indicated you won't be able to have it done by then. So how much time do you think should reasonably be required for you to be able to come into compliance on these windows?
Well, that's a tough answer. The house is in foreclosure. The proceedings started in the end of September. That's why I removed the tenants. I'm trying to get everything cleaned up and out of there as quickly as possible. The tenant's son created a huge disaster. He busted out like 9 windows. So I went through the stages. I got a police report. I tried to contact window people. I was able to get 2 estimates, neither of which are willing to do it to the procedures of the mortgage company. They are basically requiring that me pay them and then attempt to get reimbursed, of which, first of all, I don't have the money up front, and secondly, I probably would not be reimbursed because at this point in time, it being in foreclosure, I can't see how they would return any money to me.
Which is going to cost you to fix these windows?
Well, if the estimates are about $900. And, if that's acceptable to the mortgage company, I have been in contact with them and trying to find a method in which that they would work with one of these contractors to get the work done. But basically, one of the contractors, when I approached him, has not yet to get back with me about even attempting to talk to the mortgage people. And the other one basically flat out said they wouldn't work with the mortgage people. They would require me to pay them.
Okay, is this house being occupied at present?
Well, I'm become aware that the guy that helped me clean it out was a previous tenant. And at first I let him stay there a little bit for the helping me out, and then he had left. And now I'm finding that he is there staying now, which I can get him removed. That's not a problem, other than I feel a little sorry that he's on unemployment and the weather is what it is. That's the only thing that makes me feel kind of bad for him at the moment.
Okay, well, you got two choices here. You're either going to fix the windows within a reasonable time, notwithstanding all your financial hardships. I know that sounds Grinchish, but in any event. Or the only other thing you can do is board the windows up and not let it be occupied.
Okay.
For a reasonable period of time. Those are the two choices.
The windows are boarded up.
Boarded up. It can't be occupied. It can't be rented. It can't be utilized
right.
until it's brought into compliance, which means the windows are repaired.
Okay.
So that's the only slack I can offer you here.
Right. Well, then I'll get him removed because the windows have already been boarded up.
Okay. Now they need to be boarded up to city standards, of course. That means an inspector is going to come look and satisfy himself. Okay. Am I missing something, or that is only options?
So far, so good.
I mean, I'd rather have the windows, but if it ain't going to happen, it ain't going to happen. Okay.
Well, we're not actually, I mean, we're not going to
apply.
Yeah, we're not going to apply. That's just temporary.
All right. Okay, as you look on down the road, what are you realistically seeing happening with this property? Some mortgage company stepping in at some point, standing in your shoes here?
Yeah, I guess. I was hoping that.
How long will it be before that happens?
Well, having not had prior experience in that, I was told approximately it takes 4 months for them to take over the property, which we're at 2.5 months now. So that sounds like February 1st approximately, they should be in possession of the property.
Will you notify mortgage companies of proceeding such as this?
We are now. We didn't on September 8th, probably.
I understand. I was just curious. You know, when we have one of these things, once they get started and then mortgage companies crop up, do we typically notify them? Or?
Ms. Hampton's one of the smartest people in our agency with the knowledge related to what's happening on vacant properties. And so I'll have
to. She's a vacant property queen.
if I can, before. The notice violation was already active before we knew about the listing.
Oh, I understand.
That's fine. As far as what's happening, are we notifying them?
I'm just wondering, going forward, if Mr. Cicero should disappear on us, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, I just mean he says this property is no longer mine, I've got better things to do. How quickly do we get the new owner / lender, whatever, in here to get this fixed?
I think the plan is for the our registry agents to make notification of the everyone that even already existed, which would include this one.
Are you telling me there's no chance that you're going to be going back into this house?
No. I'm filing bankruptcy. This isn't the only property that I'm, you know, giving up.
Okay. But you haven't filed bankruptcy yet.
I've been hired an attorney. I'm trying to get the documents together. I would hope that I could do that, you know, before Christmas. That's my goal. Okay. And if I may say, if you contact the mortgage, you know, the lender, there is an insurance adjustment, you know, payment available to it, and I have been in contact with the mortgage lenders, and they have, you know, they gave me instructions as to how to approach it, but that, you know, is not working out, but they would have the funds and they could handle getting it fixed if they would contract somebody directly.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to order that you be in compliance by March 2 of 2011, and that in the interim, that property will be secured to city standards. And it will be secured to city standards within, how much time do we give them?
To secure?
Okay. Yep. Okay, it'll be secured to city standards within a week's time, or by December 21st. All right. If it's not secured to city standards by December 21st, you will be returned here for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If it's not in compliance by March 2, 2011, you will be returned here for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So there. So that we can be clear, the intent here is that you're going to secure the property, recognizing that you're probably not going to repair it yourself. And I'm giving you basically 90 days in case something falls out of the sky and you decide to go back in and fix your windows and fix your house, or for a lender, foreclosing, whatever, to be substituted for you. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So in the interim, before you disappear, we ask that you hurry up and get the thing secured so that we don't have to worry about vagrants or people getting hurt.
But yeah, I have one thing. For the record, Ben, with Mr. Cicero,
yes, sir.
Having knowledge of the violation and the inspector having worked with him as far as the windows, we'd like to amend the notice so that the notice reflects that they have been put on notice for that repair, since in the future we may end up having to deal with
a
collection on this issue.
So the notice of violation is going to be amended to include what? Broken windows?
And what
is that?
You know what section of the code? If you don't,
I'll order that you can put in whatever language is in the amendment.
Basically, it was this part right here.
Okay, Mr. Cicero, good luck.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
Now we'll return to our agenda. Case number one, Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated.
Number one?
Yes, sir.
Memory Council was going to be here. We had another meeting to occur. He did brief.
The Housing Authority has asked for some stipulations between the city to make sure they secure the funds to repair to make all the repairs. Mr. Counts says that they should be ready to move forward, hopefully, by April to commence the actual work on the property.
I thought we did that last time.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe we were made that. We weren't sure at that time. So, if we could just start with the appointment to Kelger, if you want to make it as well.
Yes, the Housing Authority.
Let's back up and give me some history here, because I don't remember this one. What are we dealing with here?
This is the Daytona Village property.
Okay.
All the windows and doors.
This is the Daytona Village property, all the windows and doors. The whole property is secure. It was in between the Housing Authority and privately owned. Former owner, bankruptcy, Housing Authority stepped in.
That's Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated?
Correct.
So they're now bankrupt?
They're fading away, gone pretty much,
okay,
heading up the door.
I meant to ask earlier, if somebody's filed for bankruptcy, can we take action against them?
That's your
question. Never mind, I'll ask that question later. Okay. I'll ask that question later. Okay, so Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated is the initial respondent.
Correct.
But now we have the Housing Authority that has involved itself in some manner.
Yes, they are pretty much have taken possession of the property.
All right, so this is still an active case against Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated? And just ask questions. I'm really not trying to create problems.
Didn't we say that they've completed the transaction and the Housing Authority is now the owner?
They have completed it, but the Housing Authority is the owner.
Okay, well, that's what he needs to hear.
The Housing Authority is the current owner of the property right now, yes. The housing authority is.
They completed the transaction.
They completed the transaction. However, they have not secured the rehabilitation funds yet. That's all. And Mr. Counts believes that he will secure it no later than April.
Okay, so what's the status of Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated?
They were foreclosed.
Pardon?
Okay. They were foreclosed.
They were foreclosed. By a lender?
From what I can remember. So it went into receivership, and then there was a receiver that appeared here to make that secured all of the units and maintained
right.
the property secure throughout the case initially. They did the foreclosure, and then they, I believe, throughout the foreclosure, there was a negotiations with the city and the housing authority to purchase the property.
Correct.
Out after the foreclosure.
It sounds like the foreclosure was more done as a cleanup action to clear the property and clean the title. For the transaction transfer.
So, in any event, title is now in someone other than Five Star Central Florida Incorporated?
So, my understanding from what Mr. Count said to me, that was the understanding I had. He was sending me documents that I have not received, but he indicated that the housing authority is now the owner.
And what's the status of Five Star Central Florida Incorporated? Is it still an active Florida corporation?
Don't know that answer.
Don't have that answer.
I don't know if it's bankrupt.
I don't have that answer.
And we don't know if it's been dissolved.
No.
Unknown.
All right, well, I'm going to continue this matter to our mm-hmm. next meeting. I have a sneaking suspicion this case is perhaps evaporated by virtue of the housing authority having taken title, assumed the obligations of Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated, which I'm happy to see, and quite frankly, it'll be the city's call as whether they want to keep this case active for me to basically monitor the housing authorities bringing this property into compliance or not. That's the city's call. That's not mine. But as a practical matter, if Five Star of Central Florida is inactive and or bankrupt, then it sounds as though this case has run its course. If you want to amend it, put the new owner in it, I'll certainly consider that.
Mr. Papelger, I just checked the property mm-hmm. appraiser's website, and there was a certificate of title issued in June 2010, and then the warranty deed in August 2010 to the housing authority of the city of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
Listed owner now.
All right, so that brings me now to my next question. Do you want to continue with this case? Do you want to amend to add the housing authority?
We'd like to amend.
Which one does continue to the next meeting?
Yeah, amend to the next meeting.
Yeah. The continue sound like the answer.
Amend, continue
right now
to January. Yeah. Okay. Let's come back in January.
All right, well,
talk
I'm
going to
go ahead and continue this matter to our January 11 meeting.
There we go.
And between now and then, the only thing I would like, it's the city's case. They can do with it as they wish. If it's going to remain an active case, then I would just like to know what the status of Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated is.
I don't know.
And then the next question to be put to the city, if the case is going to remain active, is whether or not they want to amend it to add the housing authority. Okay? All right. Case number two, Carrie Bernadette Smith, Ramsey. Sir, can you please state your name and be sworn?
Yes, Bernard W. Smith, Jr.
You solemnly swear the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, I have this matter here for the imposition of a fine. And the case appears as though the imposition of this fine was continued from the October 12, 2010 meeting. So that having been said, let me ask our inspector where we are.
Mr. Papelger, since our last hearing, I haven't had any contact with the Smiths. I'm sorry. Yeah. According to community development, they still haven't gained the assistance that they were asking for because of the different liens and marks
yeah.
on the title. So that's where we are with the assistance from community development.
And we also at the same situation. We have the
say that last part again now.
They were attempting to get assistance from community development
right.
to help with the repairs on the property.
Right.
Since the title is dirty with different liens on it, they've been denied so far from community development.
Right.
Okay. The status of the title, is that the only reason there's no assistance forthcoming from community development?
Correct.
Correct.
And as far as what the city or community development knows about the title, is this something that's going to be rectified in the near future or what?
The owner would have to...
We have...
He can't do anything about their title.
Yeah.
Or rather, community development is just not going to give him assistance.
I understand that, but before I ask the owner what he's doing and try to gather whether he's telling me the truth or not, I was wondering if the city has looked at it for the purpose of ascertaining what needs to be done and how long it should reasonably take. Say, for example, if the special magistrate should say, how much time do you think I should consider to allow them to come into compliance?
Well, they currently have, that I know of, two liens on the title, and one of them is from the city.
Okay, so we got a city lien, which sounds like it may be manageable, because it's ours, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What's, well, what's the other lien?
The other lien, yeah, it's a it, matter of fact, we...
Because what I'm hearing here
one lien from the city
is
one.
The dirty title is something akin to liens or judgments. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
Okay, so it's not a dirty title in the sense that we've got 64 heirs out there somewhere that need to sign off on a quiet title affidavit or anything like that.
No.
The dirty title is the fact that we have judgments or liens that are unresolved.
Correct.
Okay, because that is solely within the property owner's control.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Okay.
And the inspector is absolutely correct. The title is still clouded. We've made an offer. The only thing remaining that we think we can't handle immediately is that this card, there's a credit card that was placed on as a lien in the year 2000. No one can understand what happened. I made an offer, and they have yet to accept the offer that I made for this credit card. That's the only thing that I think that is clouding this title. Besides the city has a lien too.
How much is being sought on this credit card that somehow on your title?
It's $12,800, and we've made an offer.
How much is that?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know the amount.
It would probably be maxed at.
Multifamily.
It's multifamily.
Not owner occupied, correct.
Multifamily.
Yeah,
under
$500,000?
Yes, definitely.
$20,000.
You think it's maxed out?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. All right, so I'm looking at least $32,800 in liens.
Right.
Is this the property? And that's the
property.
Yeah,
and it has been secured.
What is the value of that property? Do we know?
Currently, no.
Okay, and it's not occupied?
No.
And secure.
It is secure, and we've changed out. If we can't get this title cleared, we're going to have to use our private source resources to do this because the city just won't budge with a clouded title. Right.
And what is the assistance we're looking for from community development?
The estimate was $40,000. $40,000.
And what's that $40,000?
$40,000 was to bring the apartment building into compliance. That's why we had to sought to make it secure. We had estimates from three contractors, and $40,000 was the minimum that we could use to bring it into compliance.
What's the fair market value of this property or the assessed value, if you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
$13,466. Is that the assessed value?
$113,466. We have in the past set up an educational foundation in my parents' names, and we think we're going to just use this property as the base for this nonprofit organization, because it's going to be too much of a problem to get clear titles. So I don't know how we're going to make this thing work, but we're going to use it. Yes.
I don't know if anyone explained to even Mr. Rams. One of the problems or part of the sketch 22 here is he would be eligible for our amnesty program if he gets property into compliance. Unfortunately, violation, at least from my understanding, just now I'm speaking with the inspector, the violation that's the subject of his fine or the lien that he has on the property from the city is still from running fine. Apparently the repairs he's trying to do are necessary for that to come into compliance. And that compliance is part of the criteria necessary for him to be able to gain amnesty.
Well,
so he has this circle of solutions that and have a long-term benefit if
you
can reach them.
And what would you suggest? In other words, what you're saying then is what we've been saying all along, that the title, that the clouding of the title is blocking everything.
You know, when community development puts up $40,000 to rehab private property, does it ever get that money back?
In this case, I think what he's looking at is a rental rehab loan.
No. This would have been a grant.
It's still considered a loan.
Okay.
It's a passive loan. It's all funds. I mean,
on a rental rehab, I don't know that they have a grant. I think the rental rehab is a loan, unless they've got new programs that I'm not aware of, which is always possible. But on a rental rehab, non-owner occupied, they loan the money, and it's a very low interest rate, if there's any interest at all, but it's a payback.
And I assume the property's the loan secured by the property.
Right.
It would be a wonderful opportunity for us if we can just get there. The property is in a good location. It's near the college. We just have to get that town cleared.
Is this property demolition material?
There's actually two structures on there. I don't think either one of them are demo material at this point.
No.
And I guess if I could just give some clarification to the question, is the question, is it rehabilitatable?
Right.
Looking at even the criteria of the if you were looking at that criteria as far as the amount of repairs to get it,
is it two homes?
It's one single family structure, and then the second structure is a garage with apartments above it.
Right.
So that's part of it?
Yes, that's the actual that's the 210 property right there.
That's 210. Yeah. They both can be
210 and the structure 214.
Yes.
And both of them require this work.
The 210 property requires much more work than the
I'm looking at that property and I'm wondering if it shouldn't be knocked down. I don't mean to be insulting, but all I can see is what I can see right there. And so I'm just wondering if that needs to be knocked down. Then you show me the picture of this other property. That looks like a pretty decent house. That
right.
Doesn't look like anything needing to be knocked down.
No, the front window, doesn't need to be knocked down. The front window's busted out, and that's pretty much the only thing that's wrong with the 214 property.
That's not busted out.
Properties in
this. Four.
Yeah,
so
four.
What would it take to bring 214 into compliance? Fixing a window?
It's not busted out. If there's a workable window behind it, remove the board, we're done with 214.
214. I boarded up 214.
Hang on a second. It's looking like 95% of the headaches here are 210.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
And the title issues that we're talking about go to both structures?
Both. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Are they deemed a single parcel for
county? They're deemed single parcel, yeah. And I can't separate them.
So, with minimal effort, 214 could be in compliance.
Absolutely.
And out of this case.
Correct.
How long would it take to bring 214 into compliance?
Oh, it's not timing. It's just a matter of getting it done. It's not for rent. Neither one, we are boarded up. They're secure. Neither one. Are on the market for rent.
Why do we have a boarded up house sitting there if there's no need to board it up?
Because it was requested by the inspector that I boarded it up, and I did it.
And I can understand that because it was included in this notice of violation.
Correct.
I'm sure you were told not to rent or occupy it until it was brought into compliance.
Exactly.
Okay, now, it looks to me like 210 is going to be the headache here. And I don't know that you're going to like anything that I've got to say with regard to 210. But I'm looking at 214, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. It looks like 214 is something that could be brought into compliance with minimal effort.
Yes.
And then out of this.
Correct.
Right. And actually, 210 can.
You may fine him to death on 210, but it seems silly to fine him on 214 unless he just wants to be stubborn about it.
I agree. But I don't know legally if you can split them.
If I can what?
Well, I think what he's saying is it'll still have the same effect if it's under one ownership because it's all one parcel.
Right.
So if you find one half of the parcel, it's still going to affect the whole parcel.
I've got two distinct addresses here.
All under the same parcel. They're both on the same
test. That's both parcel. Parcel.
All right.
They'd have to make them condos.
So you don't have any desire to use or rent 214 right now?
I'm not going to use either one of them until I secure funding, and I'm going to have to seek private funding.
Neither one of them until you secure funding.
So I can bring them in, up to the standard. Both 210 and 214 can be rehabilitated. They're block construction, so I mean it's not that they can't be rehabilitated at all. It's just me securing the funding I was anticipating using community development funds. But that has taken so long and the town is so clouded, I'm going to have to seek private funding. But I got to bring these places up to, but nobody's going to be in there until I bring them up to code. But what I'm telling you, sir, is that they both have potential. 214 is not a problem. That could be open, but I'm not going to rent it anyway.
Okay, but why are the neighbors looking at a boarded up 214 if they don't have to?
Because I was requested to board it up.
Well, that's all right, and I understand that, and we may be getting ready to fix that. So that's why I'm asking these questions. So you were told to board up 214.
Correct.
So you take the boards off 214, we just got a normal, nice-looking house there.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Right.
Now, whether you choose to occupy it, not occupy it, rent it, not rent it, get yourself an occupational license to rent it or not, that's your call. But my point is, once 214 is in compliance, or am I allowed to say compliance, or do I have to have the whole parcel in compliance? Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Am I allowed to say 214 is in compliance, or do I have to say the whole parcel is in compliance?
I mean, it's like our standard partial orders, and you couldn't acknowledge. For all intents and purposes, this is looking at this as a multi-family partial with multi-units. So if you want to acknowledge one unit being in compliance and the other unit...
Well, I do, because, I mean, it's kind of unfair as far as looking at this as one global thing, because I can see where 210 is going to be a difficult situation. 214 is not.
And
right now, I got neighbors looking at theoretically, a less than pleasant 210 and a less than pleasant 214. So I don't know why I'm at least rectifying 214 and focusing on 210. And if I were the property owner, I'd be wanting me to do that rather than put both of them in jeopardy.
I can just say this, if I can, just from personal experience, having two parcels on, two properties on a single parcel. I don't believe there's anything that would stop Mr. Ramsey if that other parcel was, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, if that other parcel is, if the other structure is rentable, from being able to rent the property,
right,
from even being able to divide the property itself. It won't be legally divided because you can't sever it because it's one parcel, but, you know, put a fence and have a pretty little house here and have the other one waiting for repairs based upon revenue or whatever else he's going to do, or demolish, or whatever else he elects to do with the other portion of the parcel. The parcel as a whole will remain in violation. Anything that's the property, even a nice property, a nice residence will be encumbered by whatever liens are there, but the residence itself in terms of its ability to rent, and this is kind of what the debate we're just having. I don't know whether or not there's some thought from the city as it relates to whether they'll issue an occupational license in that circumstance or not. That's a whole question I don't know the answer to.
The other case that we had, remember the other case that we had, absolutely.
We've had that circumstance before,
yes,
partially.
They wouldn't issue an occupational license.
Until the whole thing was
right.
Okay, well, that's a city call that I don't have an answer for as far as departmentally, but from a physical and ability, every other aspect of his ability to utilize the available property, and from a waste perspective, it may be something worth even discussing with the department, because it's not the same circumstance really with the standard multi-unit rentals, you know, since most of them is, you're talking about apartments or duplexes, and in this situation, or multiplex, in this situation you're actually talking about two for all intents and purposes independent residences. But the fact that they're deemed one parcel and they're tied together by one parcel, everything that happens on either one of them is going to affect the whole parcel until it's all remedied.
Okay. Well, let me go back to the global perspective here. From basically the way I'm seeing this, we're not being able to do anything here because you got a credit card tab that you can't take care of.
I got a credit card tab that I made an offer to compromise.
I had a lien from the city, but the lien comes with an amnesty program and other relief that might be available to you that makes it a lot easier to deal with than a credit card.
Right.
And so as nasty as it may sound, the fact of the matter remains is what I'm hearing is you got a property you can't afford to fix.
No, that's not true.
And if you can't afford to fix it, then you need to either sell it or otherwise get out of the way, which is why I was asking about demolition. Now, the community development that you keep talking about,
right,
all the things that happen that bring this property into compliance all stand behind the 12,008 credit card and the city of Daytona's lien.
That's correct.
The city would probably figure some way to work with you on the lien were you to ask. So you're basically controlling this by your paying or not paying these obligations that are encumbering this property.
I've made an offer.
To be honest with you, I'm feeling a little foolish here because I should have asked a long time ago what the nature of the title defect was, because I assumed it was some cloud on the title that had something to do with a bad deed or a missing heir or all those things that render a title clouded as opposed to just an unpaid bill.
But that's not the only...
For that matter, everyone's got a clouded title. It's got a mortgage on their property. So my point is, you tell me what your plan is, because it all depends on you, and it all depends on whether your ability to take care of these bills.
My plan is to make sure that title is unclouded. I got to do it because it's holding up everything. So... I'm going to have to use some private funds to do this because I got the unclouded title. I have no choice. So by any means necessary, I made an offer for that card, the $12,800. I made an offer to compromise. All right, that offer has not been received yet. I mean, it's not been agreed to yet. But I've made an offer. Once I get that, I think I can work with the city. I think we can work with the city on the amnesty program. But I got to get this card mess out of the way. I didn't know it was there. And it's been there since the year 2000.
Okay, what does the city want to do? I mean, this isn't a compliance question in the sense of how much should it reasonably take for the respondent to fix a window or to replace screens. It's it's non-payment here is the obstacle that's keeping the respondent from coming into compliance. And now the question is going to become how tolerant is the city going to be, because it doesn't mean a lot to me.
If I can negotiate for some more time, I'm serious.
This has been going on.
I know. Yes.
And quite honestly, and this is just, he'll have to resolve this, but there was just a question raised that there's a possibility that the program may not even be available anymore. Right. That he's relying on from community development.
And
one of the inspectors went to check on it from the time when he first started talking about it, and now it may not even be the rental assistance that he needs.
Yeah. And it might not be that. That's why I'm not relying on public funding. I'm going to have to do this by any means necessary. It's going to have to be done, sir. So it's not. I don't have an option. I'm not. The structures are sound structures. They need some work. They need windows. But I mean, other than that, I don't think I need to demolish them.
This matters here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
I'm sorry.
This matters here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Right, because we didn't realize we had one on the way start.
Right.
Correct.
I requested some time.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. It seems to be the fashionable thing. Once again, I'm going to kick something to our January meeting. And I'm going to be honest with you. This thing has now languished for 13 months. I thought there was a title defect that was going to require all kinds of litigation and quiet title suits and all this and all that. The title defect I'm hearing about is non-payment of a debt.
No, that's the remaining one.
Debts.
That's the remaining one. The title, I think you... Ms. Hampton might be familiar. The title had several issues on it, and we've removed everything but the city and the card. So, I mean, we've done a lot of work on this title, so it's not the only thing.
Well, then here we are now, and now it's a matter of a couple bills that are keeping this from going forward, and, I mean... Nobody pays me to be a nice guy. I'm just telling you like it is. These gentlemen are already alluding to the fact that this funding you're looking for may not even be there.
No, I think it's still available.
By the time you take care of whatever it is you need to take care of. And the fact of the matter is we've got this case here. And the property is either going to be rehabbed or it's going to be demolished. So if it's going to be rehabbed, I need to hear when and how. If the only recourse is demolition, so be it. Which is kind of why I started talking about severing 214 away from 210, because I can see wanting to move 214 away from the blast zone. It's going to drop on 210 if something doesn't happen pretty soon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a coward, and I'm going to postpone all this to our January 11 meeting. And at that point, I want to know what sort of latitude the city's going to consider giving the property owner, if any. And then I hope you've got a game plan that says, I don't need the city's latitude. Here's what I'm doing. I've made arrangements. I'm taking care of this, this, and this. This is how it's all going to happen. This will be in place by this date, and we can start looking at compliance by that date. Otherwise, I'm going to be imposing a fine. That's what it's here for. Administratively, between the time that's been expended and the effort that's been expended and what, if anything's been done to it since then, it is now administratively gravitated to where there's nothing left to do but impose a fine.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay.
And I do need the time, but I appreciate the opportunity to get everything in compliance.
So come January 11th, I'm going to want to know where the city stands on what they want. And if they sit there and say, as far as we're concerned, it's non-compliant and we want a fine imposed, okay. If, on the other hand, you're going to sit there and say, hold off, Mr. Magistrate, you know, I've got my funding for this, and I've got that lined up, and I can tell you I'm reasonably confident I'm going to have this by this date and in compliance by that date. So that's what I'm looking to hear from the two sides here.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
See you January 11th. So I'm continuing this matter to the January 11th meeting.
Okay.
Case number 3, Fran J. Lassiter.
I'd like to amend that case, and let's cut off the case here.
Okay.
They're scheduled for a de-inspection for our official license tomorrow.
So is the only thing left the occupational license?
So yes. When
is that the $250 thing?
Yes.
Possible.
Okay. Miles. All right.
We'll just that's actually a multi-unit property, too.
Okay. We will amend our current amended order of non-compliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to special magistrate for consideration of fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, case number 4, Gonzalez Family Revocable Trust, dated July
23, 2003. The only progress on this particular property is that it's been secured city standards. The owner assures me, those are the old pictures. The newer pictures when the property is secure. It hasn't changed on the inside at all. And he's.
Okay, that's bulldozable.
Yes, he has agreed that he's going to demolish it. And he said it would be demolished by December. But that would be up to date still there. Okay.
I'd like to impose a small fine to keep him motivated of $50 per day.
Commencing as of December 8th. Or do you want me to give him a new compliance date and start the fine right then?
Oh, no, I say December 8th.
Okay.
Because he's known.
All right. Respondent not having appeared. Based on our inspector's testimony, I'm going to impose a fine in the amount of $50 per day, commencing December 8, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter.
That's non-owner occupied, so that's going to be single family, so that's going to be 15.
Until the property is in compliance or the maximum allotted fine of $15,000 is reached, whichever occurs first. Case number 5, Robert B. Irving.
Compliance 1210. Compliance 1210.
Case number
6. Seagrave.
Case number 6, Lisa McCarthy.
I spoke with Ms. McCarthy yesterday. And nothing's changed on the property. She still claims that she's waiting to complete the work on 322 North Ridgewood, which is coming up here in a couple of sections. So as of right now, there's been no progress. However, it is secure, and the exterior is being maintained.
All right, I have this.
She's actually asking for 3 months for the 630 property. I'm willing to give her...
630 or 630? 630. 630.
You're willing to...
I'll give her 2 months, but not three. So I would say February.
Okay. Then I will order the respondent... or not having established a compliance date previously.
Amending to add the compliance date.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by February 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up $1,000 per day thereafter. I have cases 7, 8, and 9 as so being in compliance.
Are you going to add remain security and exterior maintain to that order as well?
Which was that? 6:30?
Yes, that's what was previously.
You can. It is right now.
All right, then.
It was in the previous order, and that's why I was...
Yes, it was. Thank you. It was further ordered the exterior be maintained, the property be secured to city standards. Yes, we'll order that that continue.
Thank you.
Is the property's not occupied?
No, it's not.
Is a rental property?
It is a rental property.
Okay, and well, let's add that the property is not going to be occupied, rented, or otherwise utilized until it's brought into compliance.
Interesting you should say that. Wait till you get to the next case.
Okay, case numbers 7, 8, and 9 are in compliance. Case number 10, Lisa and William McCarthy?
Yes.
Same folks?
Same owner.
Okay.
I like to impose a $50 a day fine on this property because the owner decided to move in new tenants knowing that the property had multiple violations on it, and it still has not been completed. There's still more inspections needed to be done by the building department.
How current are these photos?
That photo's from yesterday.
Because I saw a bunch of junk
yesterday morning.
Inside.
Correct.
So
that's yesterday.
Today?
Yes, sir. Yesterday.
Hang on a second. There was another view here I saw a second ago.
Yesterday.
Yesterday? Okay. And what is it you're proposing?
$50 a day.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent be fined the sum of $50 per day commencing December 8th and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 11, Federal National Mortgage Association.
City's asking for the administrative $250 for no occupational license.
Respondent pay the $250 administrative fine for what, failing to obtain an occupational license?
Yes.
Okay. Case number 12. Same thing.
What address?
Oh, I'm sorry. 12. No, case number 12. Different case all day. Working without permits.
Number 12. This case has been before you three other times. The city is asking for a $500 a day fine for working without permits. The building department has already decided that they're going to be very critical with the completion of this project. This has been going on for 3 years now, and he has made zero progress. It's an eyesore. The neighbors are up in arms, and he's pretty much ignored us. He's appeared here before you once before, and since then he's pretty much made no progress on the property. It's actually gotten worse, and he has yet to respond to any correspondence from the city, and he's not doing any work. And those are just the current pictures. He's basically gutted the entire house.
And articulate for me the rationale behind a $500 a day fine.
For the simple fact that this would now be the fourth time, the same property owner, with no progress whatsoever. He's already let three different permits expire without doing any work on the property whatsoever. And he's the only change at all is that he's changed his address, that now this is his home of record.
Counselor, what do you think about a $500 a day fine on a dilapidated, what appears to be low-income, single-family residence?
For clarification, we said this is his residence of record.
He has changed the address to this is his residence of record.
No one resides, no one can live in there.
No one can live in there. There's no power, no water. That's actually the power hookup on the left side, right by the front door. A tree came down, took the whole thing out, and he still hasn't done anything.
There's mail delivery, though? There's a mailbox and so forth?
There is a mailbox, correct. But all the notices I've had to post.
And my only question here is, at what point does the fine begin to look confiscatory?
Up to this point, there's not been a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, there's not been a fine. We've been very lenient with this property owner, and he's just uncooperative.
I don't have a problem with it. My question is whether or not the attorney thinks it's legally plausible or it touches him as excessive, perhaps confiscatory, such that somebody who might take an interest in this property might be able to challenge the fine in its entirety. That's the only reason I ask. My gut tells me it's $250 a day because nobody's done anything, and I understand the aggravation factor. $500 a day? I'm having a hard time thinking back to when we would have fined anybody that much money. And I would think it would probably be something that had a lot more of a life safety hazard to it than this. But in any event, I can be persuaded.
I'm willing to go with $250. I'm willing.
Quite honestly, Mr. McKelvey, if it was actively working on the property, as if it was active construction, I'd be more pressed to suggest the higher fine, only because we've had a past example of someone who went through, completed a property without permits, ignoring every circumstance, and then tried to benefit. But in this situation, it seems like this is more someone abandoning a project than actively trying to reach that ultimate.
Well, it's year four working without permits, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, but at this point, I think he's working without permits, mainly to the fact that he's really done less work.
Right.
The permits are expiring.
Correct.
Not because he's doing any real active work.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent to someone $250 per day commencing December 8, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter. Or until the fine reaches the sum of?
But he's not actually occupying it. He's just changed the address. That's his address, where his mail is coming through. I will be 15, too.
It's got it, right?
Yes, no. No one is active. Yeah, you can't live there. No.
Okay,
so 15.
Filled in the blank for me. What's the amount?
$15,000.
Or reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. I should probably keep that little.
It's on the back of your calendar.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you. You slid that in on me.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
You next year?
Mr. McKelvey, I think Mr. Fitzgerald would like to give to case 30 if we could, since we have Ms. Miles here to speak on that. Is that correct?
Yes.
I do. Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Colleen Miles, zoning officer.
Elliot Meadows, I don't see a respondent here. What say the city?
City shows him noncompliance.
Okay. Maintenance code. Are these the photos I'm looking at?
Yes.
The first one's all I need, I think.
Yeah.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. How much time should it take for the property to come into compliance?
90 days.
90 days. 90 days is going to give you until March 2, 2011. Is that what you meant to do?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And did Ms. Miles want to be heard on this matter?
Not if you're happy. I'm happy, sir.
Could I just make a one statement? In the notice of violation, the description of violation, when it merged from my database, it cut off some descriptions of the words. So I have an amended notice of violation to include the rest of the description of the violation. Then the sightings were correct, but it was it cut off half the word of sanitation. So then the remaining part of the notice of violation would say weeds, rodent harborage, accessory structures, all exterior doors, doors assemblies, roof and flashing shall be sound tight and not have defects, and all maintained structurally sound and in good repair. So I've prepared an amended notice of violation to send out with the rest of the description.
So it would be the language that we see here on the,
yes.
Agenda.
Right.
Representing the violation.
I would ask then, in that instance, if you could do a cover letter, or I can provide you one saying that this is just an amended order, we're not reciting you, we understand the circumstances, and you have 90 days in which to comply.
I'll include that.
Yeah, and the zoning is removing it if it's on that case. Was the zoning on this case? Because I thought I had two cases, but the zoning issue? No, I think I didn't. I made sure that
it doesn't reference zoning on that
right.
citation, right.
Okay, because he's okay. Yes, okay. Then I had two separate cases, and he's okay on zoning. He now has a 9-unit. So, okay, that was it then.
Okay, were you in touch with the respondent?
We were in court, sir.
Okay, so the respondent's aware of all these additional issues.
They're the original issues that he was originally cited on. Then we went to court over the 9-unit discontinuance. Right, said he lost.
So the respondent's aware of all these items. So it's just a matter of.
That's that case.
He didn't pull it. He didn't pull the permit.
The notice of violation.
He has attempted to pull permits right now. We're going to release them before we even get the judge's order because we know what the judge's order is going to say.
Okay.
So you looking for me to grant the amendment for the notice of violation? Is that what you're asking?
Extend our time.
I'm not sure what
you're
asking.
I just want
just
time
more time
for compliance.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't care about the amended order, but
it's just how. Yeah.
Maybe I was. Not sleeping through the description. But if I understand, this is the one where he sought a variance?
No, he sought a finding of fact. The finding of fact was denied by the board. He went to court. He prevailed.
Okay, so he appealed and he prevailed on the appeal. So now you're allowing him time.
To fix the issue.
Right.
But
this is over 8 months old. Or
right, but there's an amended order.
So there's a lot more stuff there.
Let's stop for a second. Okay. You're all giving me a headache.
Me too.
Is this something we're going to be dealing with for a while?
No.
Okay, is this something that we can expect is going to get intense somewhere down the road?
I think the intensity went away.
And I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what it's about. So I'm going to back up. Somebody tell me the story about Elliott Meadows and 220 North Halifax Avenue.
Okay, last year in...
Where is that? Where is it located?
Just Halifax. Just south of Oak Ridge, east side of the road. You've seen it multiple times.
It's south of Oak Ridge, okay. On the west side, I assume?
On the east side of the road. Used to be owned by John Benazet. You probably don't care about that part. Was before you at code board multiple times over the years, 9-unit apartment. Everyone was parking in the front yard. We instructed them to put up the 4-foot fence. This is in the Wayback Machine.
Okay. This is just south of Oak Ridge on the east side.
Mm-hmm. Actually, a little bit further south than just Oak Ridge.
Riverfront property?
No. East side of the road, sir. Sorry. Sorry.
East side of the road.
All right. Sorry. Okay, so you've seen it a million times. Anyway, went into receivership after Benazet a while. Bank had it, had code enforcement issues. Bank asked code.
So this would be between the Greek church and Oak Ridge?
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly true.
I'm vaguely thinking of the area now.
Right.
All right, okay. And it's owned by whom?
It was owned by the bank at the time. Surety Bank. Surety wanted to divest it to Mr. Meadows. Mr. Meadows came to me in December, said, is it still a vested use of 9 units? I said, you're dangerously close to losing your grandfathering status. The reason he was dangerously close, which you don't really care about, is code. The bank went to code and said, how do we get rid of the delightful people living there? Code said, shut off the power. Board it up. You can't live in a building that way. Well, the second part of the sentence might have been, and then reestablish the use, but nobody said that part. So they didn't, so they lost their use based on not reestablishing the 9 units. I said it was discontinued. Board of Adjustment concurred. We went to court. The judge said intent was not there. So.
The judge said what?
Intent was not there.
Intent to what?
Discontinue the grandfathered use.
Okay. So the judge then
found, overturned the city's finding and is going to allow Mr. Meadows to reestablish the 9-unit nonconforming building.
Okay.
With the repairs instructed by Mr. Fitzgerald.
Right.
This happened last week. He applied for permits this week.
Where does Benazet come in?
That was just a piece of history for you, not pertinent to the story.
All right, so now it's Meadows. Y'all have been to court. He's prevailed.
Correct.
So he's going to get his 9 units.
Correct.
Now. So now we're back to bringing the property into compliance.
Correct.
We're going to give him time.
All right, that's fine. All right.
So I think the big brouhaha has already happened.
All right, and so you are wanting to give him until March 2, 2011 to come into compliance?
Yes, or at least an update at that point if he's had problems with...
should not have problems because he knows what he needs to do and we are more than willing to help him.
Why isn't he here? Has anyone been in touch with him?
I spoke to him, but he just said it was for compliance or noncompliance and then give him time, so...
So you said he didn't need to be here?
Well, no, I talked to him. He said he wasn't going to be here.
Sabotage him, but whatever. Okay. All right. Have I already found the respondent noncompliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then I'm going to...
I believe he did. Circle
it.
I'm not quite sure.
You don't want to do it again. Never know what could happen with this case long term.
Let's not say that, shall we?
Well, I guess, and here's a question I guess I need to start asking you in the future. Is this a multifamily residential commercial less than $500,000 assessed 2010 value?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I like that.
Because I'm getting ready to try to pose an intelligent order here. All right. Then I'm going to find that the respondent is in noncompliance, and I'm going to order the respondent to be in compliance by March 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And continuing until the property is either in compliance or the fine reaches the sum of $20,000, whichever occurs first. How was that?
Great.
Did we cover everything?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good luck to you. All right. Brings us up to case 13, Stamenko and Dusanka Angela.
Boof. What's the address on that?
Not seeing a respondent, we'll say the city.
What's the address on that?
That's Mr. Fitzgerald's case.
Oh, Fitz. Sorry, my bad.
I'd like to amend and give them more time. They've been doing a lot of work, and they just pulled permits. They were on hold there for a little bit, but they're more than on their way.
And you want to give them to when?
Let's do the February cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I'll go ahead and order that we amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 2, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter or until the property is in compliance. Case number 14, Matthew Jones and Anna Alastra. Progress report and determination of compliance day. Says Michael Fitzgerald.
This is the one that you wanted a progress report. They were not able to take it to the adjustment board because their Colleen Miles has spoke to them and the size of their lot wouldn't give them the ability to have duplex. They pulled permits. And they are returning the 2 units and removing pulled electrical and plumbing to cap off the kitchens and remove them.
Okay, and how long should it take to complete compliance?
Let's do January cutoff.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate. For consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 15, Charles N. and Janet G. Lyons.
That's compliance 1119.
Case number 16, Harriet Foreman Estate.
It's non-compliant. Next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance. By when? Oh, I'm sorry. You just told me.
I'm sorry.
January 5, 2011. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I have case number 17 as in compliance. We've already done case number 18. I have case number 19 is in compliance, which brings us up to case number 20, Robert B. Irvin.
This non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 21, Edward G. Taylor, Anthony J. Taylor, and Christopher J. Taylor. Taylor clan.
Yeah.
Let's say the city.
Non-compliance. Non-compliance. Yes, next cutoff. This is December, right? Yeah.
Okay, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondents to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Plus the
one-time administrative fine in the amount of $250 for failure to obtain the rental license. All right, we've already done case number 22, which brings us to case number 23, Cyril and Roseanne M. Javurek.
Compliance 1210.
Case number 24, Steve D. and Valerie Kane.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order them to come into compliance by January 5, 2011 or be returned to the special magistrate for what? Consideration of the imposition of the administrative fine?
Okay.
I guess it doesn't make much sense to say $1,000 a day.
No.
Okay. Case number 25, Rebecca A. Taylor.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by January 5, 2011, or be fined the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain an occupational license. Case number 26, Juanita C. Armstrong.
Has made application for the license, but at this point it's non-compliance. Next cutoff, we should be good.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, order the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the administrative fine in the amount of $250 for failure to obtain an occupational license. Case number 27, Edison and Mariela Fuentes.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to be in compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of a $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 28, Charles Kirk Winstead and Rebecca A. Hedrick.
Non-compliance. Next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of a $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. We have already done case 29. We have already done case 30, which brings us to case 31, Martha M. Bailey.
We'll be asking for a will fine on this property. It's non-compliant. We'd like a finding in non-compliant.
No permit, operating a paved parking lot without a permit.
Yeah, the picture will be up.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in compliance. How much time should it take? I'm sorry. I find the respondent in non-compliance. Okay, Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
It's in compliance 10, 13-2010. We're asking for a will fine.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find that the respondent has subsequently come into compliance, but further order that for every such future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 32, Richard Postlewaite.
Noncompliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of a $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 33, Sharon Elizabeth Westland, Revocable Trust.
Compliance yesterday.
Case number 34, T&K&K Investment Company.
Looking for a will fine. Noncompliance.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being noncompliance. And how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Compliance, 10-21.
Okay, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent has subsequently come into compliance, but also but further ordered that for every future such violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. What property was that? 823
Main Street. 823
Main Street.
If you go back to those pictures, 823.
What corner is that on?
It's the corner of that would be Fern and Main Street. It's Fern and Main Street. On the south side.
Northwest corner. It's not the guy that south, puts the Indian out front.
No. It would be the southeast corner of Fern and Main.
Number 35 is in compliance. Case number 36, we've already done. Case number 37, Robert and Chantal Peske.
Next cutoff, noncompliance.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondents to commit to compliance by January 5, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 38, trust number 219, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee.
That's noncompliant, but much less than next cutoff. I would give them 10 working days.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and allow the respondent until December 24th, Christmas Eve. Are you going to go out there and check and see if he's coming to compliance?
I guess I'm the Grinch.
Is that what you want, 10 days?
Yes.
Give the respondent 10 days or until December 24th to come into compliance or be fined or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and we also have a occupational license issue.
Yes. So
imposition of an administrative a $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. All right. That I think covers our agenda. Is that right?
Is it
miscellaneous business to be brought before the board?
Just Merry Christmas. Holidays.
Merry Christmas, guys. Have a good one. What was the bankruptcy question?
Oh, just whether or not we go after, what do we do if they file bankruptcy to proceed with the case. And I've taken a position, and it's a varying position from different people in code enforcement. But we looked at the actions as abating nuisance and police powers, and a police power action is able to go forward. And most agree in our listserv. However, we're talking about bankruptcy courts, so it just depends on what each case.
The judge's mood happens.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get on that. Well, some suggest maybe we should. What I do suggest is that we go ahead and find that the real issue becomes us actually recording that fine.
All right, well, all of you go forward. Be of good cheer, and to all of you,